Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio and also on Rapture Ready Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Also, we have a YouTube channel and a website, Prophetic News, so we have those things available for you. And don't forget my book. Christmas is coming. It might be a good gift for somebody. Somebody that needs help, right? Somebody that needs to escape from the one world church. And the book is Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? Now, can we pay God off to bless us? I don't think so. But that's what many of the false prophets and the false teachers teach you today. So that book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Lulu. And there's also the Kindle version on Amazon, too. So we're going to bring our guest on. Hello, Jackie.
How you doing, Susan?
Oh, hanging in there, hanging in there. So exciting news here. Now, this is a very strange story. As I was looking today about this Lord Maitreya, it says here, the ascended master, Maitreya, my I am presence. He holds the office of cosmic Christ and planetary Buddha. His name means loving kindness, and he focuses the radiance of cosmic Christ. Wow.
Well, I'm telling you, he's been around this, his spokesperson, Benjamin Krem, has been around for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been talking about him for a while, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he's had a newsletter, at least since 1982 when the full-page ads were taken out in all the major newspapers with the headline saying, "The Christ is here now."
Yeah,
and I remember at the time, because when it came out, I was attending the weekly Bible study of the late Walter Martin, the author of The Kingdom of the Cults.
Yeah.
And when this came out, people were very shook up because this guy was saying by the end of that year, the Maitreya was going to identify himself to everybody telepathically, and people were getting extremely nervous, and yet, you know, boy, I can't believe that since 82, how many years is that now? I can do the math.
That's a long time. That's what, 30 something years,
35
or 30. Yeah, that's a long time because I remember when they were talking about that back then. I had just been saved about a year.
Yeah, me too. And that's why, and I was going to Walter's study over at Melody Land, and he held it up. Well, you know, it was a good place to be when that came out, to be sitting under the teaching of an expert on these things who really eased our minds and, you know, all of that, because we thought we were under some sort of UFO invasion, because certainly the Maitreya and Benjamin Krem, claimed to be representatives of the Space Brothers and the hierarchy. But, you know, I've been on his mailing list for quite a while, and he started out with his organization, and this is in England, was called the Terra Center, and that is who put out the news release. But since then he's changed his the title of his organization to Share International, S-H-A-R. And and so their agenda certainly is that they want a redistribution of the world's resources, and there's going to be a global convergence of the whole world is going to unite under this coming Maitreya. Now let me just read you the... Oh, I know. And see, yeah, that's the thing. These ideas, they've been speaking about them in the occult and the New Age movement and stuff since the times of Helen Blavatsky and early occultism. And so these things are that were like very foreign back in 82 are now becoming common ideas today. And so so the fact that there's been this longevity with Krem and his messages that keep going out to, you know, on paper, not telepathically, but then again, who knows? It's been consistent. They haven't gone away. You know, it's like a lot of little groups will come and go, but these people have staying power. Now there's a sidebar on the cover of each issue that has a few paragraphs that give in a nutshell who they say Maitreya is. So if you don't mind, it's just three paragraphs. I'll read it to you. It says Maitreya, the world teacher, is the personal name of the head of the spiritual hierarchy. He is expected by the world's major religions as the Messiah, Krishna, the Imam Mahdi, Maitreya Buddha, and the Christ. An avatar for the new age, he returns as the teacher and guide for all humanity, religious and non-religious alike. He comes with his group, the Masters of Wisdom. At this time of great political, economic, and social crisis, Maitreya will inspire humanity to see itself as one family and create a civilization based on sharing, economic and social justice, and global cooperation. He will launch a call to action to save the millions of people who starve to death every year in a world of plenty. His open mission in the world has begun. And then there's a direct message from Maitreya to greet everybody. He says, I am the avatar of this coming age. I am the messenger sent to show you the way. I am the tireless one, the knower of truth. I am called by all men. I am awaiting the hour of emergence that all may see me. I call on you, my friends, to make this so. Make known that I am in the world. Tell your brothers this truth and create among you a climate of hope. Yeah, I mean, that's creepy, right?
Yeah. So now this Maitreya hasn't come yet?
He supposedly is showing up in disguise to all people all over the place.
Oh, I see. But he's not walking, so it's kind of a shadow of the Antichrist.
Yeah, well, they say that he's taken up human form and he will show up being interviewed here, there, and everywhere, but not quite yet making revealing himself to the world, just to specific people here, there, and everywhere. I mean, they have mentioned names like the original George Bush back, you know, 20 years ago, whenever it was, they claim that he spoke to Bush and to Gorbachev.
Really?
And now he's in contact, supposedly, with Pope Francis.
I wouldn't doubt that.
I know. You know, but
a wide variety of demonic figures are in contact with Pope Francis.
That's for sure.
Yes. Mm.
Well,
he hears those voices.
Yeah, and you know, you could. Here's the thing, because of its consistency over the years, all these decades, and its agenda that was spelled out long before it kind of came out of the UN closet, as far as the global and economic and spiritual unity of the planet. You know, he's been talking about this for, like we said, 30, 4 years, and even before that, because even when Tara Center put out that full page ad, he was already known by a lot of people. It's just that that big ad just, you know, got him on the map. So I really think that, put it this way, if and very likely there's going to be a major deception that people would believe the lie, this whole idea about, I really believe that that lie that the scriptures speak of is going to somehow fit in with these deceivers, because they kind of show their hands, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
And since you know, they're claiming that they're going to solve all the world's problems, then you know, it's just absolutely lines up with what we see the pushes of the spirit of the age today.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does line up. It kind of is the whole, when you look at what is called Christianity, and then you look at the secular world and how greed and the love of money, which the Bible says is the root of all evil, so you see the tremendous evil that has overtaken people because of their love of money. And so it's all kind of a setup. And also the sense of entitlement that people have today, you know, it's being fostered by the church, and it's being fostered by the government. And we've kind of created a monster, but the monster is going to get bigger if God doesn't show us some mercy.
Oh, yeah. It just keeps going. And even Benjamin Krem, he openly admits to his occult roots. And he doesn't care, because what they claim to be, you know, the belief in the New Age. The New Age has always been an occultic counterfeit of the coming thousand-year millennial rule of Christ.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to fulfill all of the prophecies with their own spin on it, with their own cast of characters. In one of the newsletters they sent out, which this one was just the most recent one in the summer of 2016, they send this thing out quarterly. They used to have a bigger publication than this, but they have this little blurb about the new civilization, and there's a, you know, oh, let's see, let me obviously read a quote. They say, oh, and this is really creepy, because, you know, we talk about the Antichrist meaning instead of Christ, but it also means against Christ. And you can hear by their rhetoric that they are very much against the true Christ. Here's a little blurb that says, "How can the fullness of time have come when we are witnessing hordes of men, women, and children fleeing war, hunger, and persecution, ready to risk their lives simply to encounter respect for their fundamental rights? A torrent of misery, swollen by sin, seems to contradict the fullness of time brought by Christ." So, you know, they're knocking him for not, you know, that when Jesus came, he didn't make it all right, okay? And, you know, and so, you know, oh boy, what a homily. You know what I just quoted? I thought I was quoting this New Civilization blurb by Benjamin Krem, but I just quoted Pope Francis.
Oh.
Okay,
wow.
That was the quote. I mentioned it on my show a couple weeks ago. That was the quote from the homily of Pope Francis. But on the same page right next to it, so I skipped over thinking I was reading a different article. The New Civilization says, "The political and economic transformation, which will be initiated as a result of Maitreya's and the Master's presence, will free humanity from age-old inhibitions and limitations and galvanize it into a great leap forward in consciousness. Conscious, meaningful living will replace the present confusion, doubt, and fear. A confident, courageous willingness to explore both inner and outer worlds will supplant the present weakening cynicism and make possible the evolutionary advance. I have sought to describe the emergence of a new and better civilization and of a new and better humanity. So that came from Benjamin Krim. And
yeah.
He's saying, you know, time is short for the along the lines more befitting man's true role and purpose. And, you know, so he goes on to, you know, pretty much just say that Maitreya is going to be the architect of the plan. That's what they call it, the plan. And the temple of truth is the new civilization, and we have to build it. Every brick, every stone, Maitreya has said, must be put in place by man himself. He comes to show the way, to advise, teach, inspire, release the energy to galvanize us, but we willingly, gladly must accept the changes, otherwise they will not take place. So, I mean, you know, it's all in our hands. And they did say that the Maitreya focuses on the World Refugee Day. He was all excited about the Refugee Day. He wants them all to be accepted and received.
Oh,
and
of course.
He says...
Yeah.
You know, that there's the big plight of the refugee children, and they've contacted the Dalai Lama, Pope Francis, and the late Vaclav Havel. I don't know who that is. But,
I don't know if that was the Polish. Sounds like a Polish person. Might have been
yeah.
the Polish head of Poland at one time. I don't know. I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
But kind of a familiar name.
You see, but these so-called Masters of Wisdom are the Space Brothers. And...
The
and
Space
so he,
Brothers?
Yes, yes. They very much have identified over and over again as themselves as the Space Brothers, so that
the
messages that have been given supposedly to the people who have had the encounters with UFOs have been given the same message and have been used to spread those ideas among humanity. You know, pretty much is that...
Well, it's interesting that you're saying that, because I think a week or so ago Obama said that he's going to set aside money, or he wants to push forward this initiative for people to go to Mars.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, now from an earlier publication of their, let's see, what year is this one?
Okay, Vaclav Havel, I looked it up. He's the president of the Czech Republic, actually. Oh, he died, but he was the former president of the Czech Republic. Yep.
Well, I guess they aren't very omniscient because they didn't know he was going to croak.
yeah. It says he died 2011.
Now, in 1990, the Share International's... gave this whole thing about the visitors from outer space. They have a whole article about that, and you know, about their connection with it. I can just read a paragraph. Let's see. This is a time when highly evolved beings are moving into the world in every nation and country, giving experiences to people, showing them a higher life, a higher wisdom. As a result, people across the world are feeling that they have a mind, spirit and body, that these must be cared for, that there must be equilibrium, which creates awareness, which leads to salvation. And they have their own salvation. They say this is especially evident with the people of Russia, China, and Eastern Europe. A new energy is making them aware, not only of their heritage and freedom, but also that life exists elsewhere in the universe. They have been experiencing many visitations from outer space by beings of more developed civilizations. This phenomenon will become increasingly and openly discussed throughout the world. In Canada, Space Brothers landed in the far north, and fishermen were witnessed the event. Not only are people talking more openly, governments are now being pressured to reveal what they know about space visitors' landings. You know, it's interesting because Hillary recently said that she, too, wants to, if she becomes president, to do a probe into the UFO phenomenon. Now, Jimmy Carter, remember when he was running for the presidency, he said the same thing, and yet he didn't reveal anything.
Oh. Now, yes, because in the WikiLeaks, her right-hand man there, Goebbels, Podesta, he mentions that he's a believer in UFOs. So.
Oh yeah, I think
kind
a lot
of
them are certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yet see where the Vatican comes into that with their Vatican observatory and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, they're all
for people
kind of
that don't know about that. Explain to the people about their observatory.
Well, they have a official Vatican astronomer, and he runs the Vatican Observatory, where they are looking for beings from outer space, and they claim, well, they're going to have the same God, and if they come here, you know, Pope Francis says he'd be happy to baptize them. and so they continue to watch the skies. Now, here's a mention of the politics in this 1990 Share International CREM publication. It says, politicians have no understanding of the forces released in nature. There is a mischievous energy in nature born of the power of attachment. This energy has driven the United States to send arms to the Middle East. This energy, once released, must find its outlet. If it is not released through firing weapons, this same force will express itself in the forces of nature, and we can expect more floods, earthquakes, and other natural disasters of various kinds. Okay, now that was reported in 1990, and of course, since then, there's been this whole agenda of the, well, it was what the, what do they call it with the changes or the...
Oh, the global warming?
Yeah, yeah, global warming, climate change, yes.
Yeah.
So that was already on these guys' agenda back in 1990.
Yeah, well, it was ironic, too, that in the speech at the dinner with the cardinal there the other night, mm-hmm. Hillary mentioned Pope Francis and how important climate change is. And it all fits in with whole one-world order global agenda. They drop their little buzzwords. They let you know who they are.
Okay, here's the other element that has come out lately that they've been talking about for quite a while, and that is the control of the media.
Oh,
yeah. They got the media in their pocket.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, okay, this is, let's see. This is Share International. Okay, this is from 2010. Let me see, is this on the, well, wait a minute. No, let's go back over another one there. I have a few things posted. I've got such a stack of stuff since I've been on their mailing list for so long, but I found, okay, this is the, we'll get back to the media in a second, but, well, actually this has to do with the media. You know, my husband used to be a daily newspaper reporter for a local, a Philadelphia newspaper, daily newspaper.
Yeah.
In fact, it's called the Delaware County Daily Times. It's still in existence in the suburb of Philadelphia. And
yeah.
So back in 1992, they got a news release. In fact, they sent it to Bill, even though Bill was no longer on full time with them in 92, but he was still a correspondent. He would write on matters of religious deception. They would still have him write articles even when he wasn't on full time anymore. But
yeah.
So his editor forwarded this news release from somebody, you know, claiming to represent the Maitreya and stuff. So they were going after the media as long ago as 92. So so here was the appeal that came to the news people, and it went out to all. I mean, this isn't like the Philadelphia Inquirer. It's not the major Philadelphia newspaper, but they were not only sending this out to the news desks of all of the newspapers, but even the smaller. I mean, the big ones, but even the small ones.
Yeah.
And so here's how the letter reads, with the attachments of people to contact. It says, you know, to the religion editor, would you consider investigating a story that on the surface seems too incredible to pursue? Several reputable journalists from established media organizations around the world have already taken up the challenge. Attached are their profiles, but just for a brief moment, I ask you to suspend judgment and give some thought to the following. What if the so-called second coming has already happened? What if the awaited one, the Christ, the Messiah, the Buddha, or the Imam Mahdi is actually now in the world. We all know the story espoused by those who claim to know Jesus in the clouds with trumpets and fanfare, but British author Benjamin Krem suggests something a bit more subtle, a world teacher, not one waving a magic wand that will transform and save our world, but one who inspires and guides us to do it ourselves. Mr. Krem's claim that such an individual does in fact exist has been corroborated by a number of these journalists. Most thinking people are understandably skeptical about the appearance of a genuine world teacher, and from a journalist's standpoint, it would be easy to pass on such an idea. What one can't easily dismiss, however, are the profound changes taking place in the world today. A new spirit of reconciliation and rising calls for freedom, justice, and political reforms. At the same time, it seems that commentators are straining to explain the many miraculous events, from weeping statues to mass visions of the Madonna and Christ, which are increasingly being seen worldwide. Mr. Krem asserts that this world teacher known to many as Maitreya is indeed the stimulus behind these miracles, the political Berlin walls, as well as the mysterious phenomena. His account has piqued the curiosity of these journalists who independently continue to follow this story while maintaining a healthy skepticism. They are prepared to discuss their findings and experiences with you. Speak to them. Speak to Benjamin Krem. I assure you, not only will you find this a fascinating story, but one that actually makes sense. And then they give the contacts of all these individuals, like, you know, from London, oh, golly, all over the world, Manchester, England, Amsterdam, Nairobi, Denver, London, Ottawa, Canada, Munich, another one in London, Auckland, and given the contacts on all these journalists all over the world who have already, you know, seen the light on this.
Oh,
and
so
that
they
went
give
to
the
all
names?
The newspapers. Oh, yeah, I got all the names.
Well, mention a few names.
Well, this is 1992. That was, what, 24 years ago. Let's see, I had a baby that year, actually. Well, the one in Amsterdam is Peter Lefebvre. I don't know if we know any of these names. Let's see. Denver is somebody named Jack Kissling. And he's with the Denver Post. Okay.
Yeah.
So, let's see. The one in Amsterdam is with De Telegraaf, Holland's largest daily newspaper. Brian James in Manchester, he's a longtime producer of social documentaries for BBC Television. This is Job Mutungi in Nairobi. He is the managing editor of the Kenya Times Media Trust. See what I mean as far as how efficient that their operation is as far as being consistent. Let's see, Jack Kissling is Denver. He is joined the editorial staff of Denver Post in 1968 before writing for the Post Sunday Empire magazine, and so he's a columnist. And he states, whether or not Mr. Krem is the Messiah's messenger is a matter of conjecture, but the earnestness of his quest is a matter of fact. Now, that's a quote from him. Then there's Patricia Pitchon in London, and so she's with a Latin American news agency. She's a freelance journalist writing for The Guardian and The Daily Telegraph.
Those are big papers. Those are big papers in England especially.
Oh, of course.
You know, because this Benjamin Krem, I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere. Because before I was saved, I was involved in, you know, different kinds of things, looking for Jesus all over the place. And I never heard about him. Did you ever hear about him before this, before 82?
Not before 82, no.
No.
Like I said, I think a lot of that, you know, was in 82 is when it kind of first started pushing it.
Yeah, because I didn't hear about it because they had those books, The Cosmic Christ and The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. There was different things that the New Age movement was putting out. But as far as this Lord Maitreya, it kind of came out of nowhere when this guy bought that full page out in the newspaper. And here
exactly.
They're still going.
Yes, they're still going, and they're still having what it looks like having interest, or you know, by major organizations and newspapers. And so, you know, nothing much has changed. But like I said, when you look at their global agenda, it all kind of, you know, comes together as far as the same as the Democratic platform and the United Nations.
About the United Nations, yeah. And now, you know, now that you brought up the United Nations, what about the takeover of the internet by the United Nations? That Obama handed over control of the internet.
I know, and yet that kind of, you know, and then it was right after that, I understand, that they cut off the internet to Assad, you know, the guy.
Yeah.
So this is all part of, it's a takeover bit by bit. And anybody who, so many deaths, you know, they talk about all these mysterious deaths around the Clintons. Maybe it's not the Clintons. Maybe it's these evil people and evil workers who are trying to plot this takeover by the masters of wisdom. Maybe they're the ones setting up these murders of people who buck the system.
Yeah. It's very, very strange. And, you know, the story kind of just kind of flew over people's heads. They didn't make a big story about the fact that Obama gave control of the internet over to the United Nations.
Well,
it wasn't a big story.
No, because they've got the media in their pocket. That goes right back to what I was just saying.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find the other blurb. It's funny because I have so many things highlighted, but there is another blurb in there where they
I'll just mention something while you look for it. Go ahead and look for it. But I had, when I was surfing the internet the other day, and of course I'm not going to quote a hypnotist, but there was a man who said, I'm a trained hypnotist, and I recognize a lot of these thought patterns and the way the media plants thoughts in people's heads and the persuasion they use, and then the repetition when I think it was Adolf Hitler actually that said that if you say something enough, if you repeat a lie long enough, eventually people will believe it.
Yeah,
and
that was one of his henchmen's advice to Hitler. Goebbels was one of those guys.
Yeah. So you can see where these kind of things are being done to people, where they're basing, they go and they listen to the news and they hear a sound bite, and they take that sound bite and they run with it, and they don't do the investigating. Most people don't take time to investigate stories to see if they're true. I like to do those kind of things, so I try to check things out and verify things. But we could see how maybe half of the country now, almost half of the country that we live in, they are easily influenced by a soundbite, by the power of persuasion, by manipulation. Yeah. Subtle manipulation.
I found the quote.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, this is from the Spring 2010 Share International. It has a Q&A. And here's the question. Let's see, and these are all Benjamin Krem answers is the title of the Q&A. So this is from Benjamin Krem. The question says, you say in the January issue of Share International that you cannot give a specific time, day, or any information about Maitreya's interview for such and such reasons. Then in question three, you say that there is not a specific date for the day of declaration, and this is not planned for 2012. I assume that the argument about people accepting Maitreya for what he proposes and not because they think he is the world teacher is still valid here. But in question four, you say that the media will give the time when the day of declaration will take place. So can you clarify this, please? Answer, the media will make the arrangements for the day of declaration when the people call for Maitreya to appear before the world. Then they, and then let's see, what is, and then the next question, what is one of the most important things you have learned from working with the Space Brothers? What was the purpose of your contact with the Space Brothers? Answer, I learned how much the happenings and actions of people on Earth, if they affect the world as a whole, concern the Space Brothers. They are seriously and consistently working on a spiritual mission for Earth. So, you know, it's all, let's see, what is this? Okay, so so it's funny because I know why I highlighted this word in the same page as this, is purpose. He keeps using the term purpose. Now, what does that remind you of?
Yeah. Rick
okay, the
Warren.
Driven. Yeah. He says this is probably the most important thing that Maitreya comes to do, to endow millions and millions of people with a sense of their own worth, their self-esteem, and the fact that they count, that everybody on Earth is here for a purpose. That purpose comes with the fact that they are a soul, that it is the soul's purpose that they are here, and that everybody is embarked on a journey, an adventure open to all of us. So they're purpose-driven.
Yeah.
They're purpose-driven.
Yeah.
The media, the journalists are the ones that they're manipulating. They're going this day of declaration. Now back then, they were, you know, insinuating it was going to happen in 2012. Well, it didn't, did it?
No.
Except maybe with the re-election of Obama. So far, I haven't seen much other than news bits in their things as far as talking about Obama. Maybe they're protecting him. I don't know.
Well, it all kind of fits into place because you have the radical ideas of this man Saul Alinsky, which the news media, basically, they just bypass all this information. Hillary Clinton was also a student of Alinsky, where they espouse these socialist, communist ideas. They use violence. They use rioting. They use all forms of manipulation to manipulate the masses to get them to believe what they want them to believe. And actually, when you look at the news, for the most part, you don't see journalists. You just see people that are reading scripts.
Exactly.
They're not even really journalists.
No, they're not. No, there is no true journalism anymore, except, you know, on the some of the more underground sort of news that people kind of give me a hard time for listening to InfoWars, you know. But, you know, you can't argue with the videos and the documentation.
No, you can't argue with the documentation. I'm not going to totally endorse Alex Jones, but I'm going to say that some of it, when you have video evidence and you have that's right before you of people saying things. That's why I feel it's important on my program to play the audio of the people I'm talking about. So people, it's just not me saying something. I'm going to show you what they're saying. So that's basically what the InfoWars and the Breitbarts and the Gateway Pundit, they actually do have done the research where they have the video evidence or the quotes, not just taking things out of context, which journalists go and they seek out the story and they gather the evidence and then they write the story. But today we see that in my area here in Florida, if you turn on the news at 5 o'clock and there's three different news channels, they're all saying the same thing and basically at the same time.
And they are. And not only that, they are always only on the left. If anything hurts their position, they won't report it. Doesn't matter
no, they
how
won't
newsworthy
report
it is.
No,
and,
they
know,
won't report
it. Doesn't matter
it. They spin the story to control the masses to get them to believe what they want them to believe. And most people don't take the time. Like, for instance, what you're saying now, what you're talking about, most people probably have never heard of this.
Oh, no, I'm sure that a lot of people haven't. Now, maybe if they're older and they were around in 82, they might remember that full-page ad that, you know, maybe it raised their eyebrows at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is really the spirit, it seems, that they're all in contact with this same spirit of the age that is trying to move events along the path that will lead to really the Antichrist, because they have the Antichrist agenda. And it's amazing that, you know, I don't really believe that any Christian who studies and understands Bible prophecy, even in the most elementary sense, would go along with the Democratic agenda when it is totally obvious how they are pushing towards the destruction of our borders and turning us over to international unelected powers. I mean, Brexit was really incredible that Britain pulled out of the EU.
That was incredible.
And that is the kind of thing that probably infuriated this evil, unclean spirit of the age. You know,
yeah.
He was mad.
Sure, because England, and I've been there many times. I've been to England over 30 times in the 1990s, and it was so socialist, and they had illegal aliens from all over the world pouring into Britain, overstaying their visas. This is the same basic problem we're having here. And the welfare was out of sight, the benefits, free college, free housing for people going to college, and these people weren't even citizens. Citizens of the country.
Wow.
And this kind of thing was rampant back then. So when I looked at I would look at the state of Europe and I would look at the fact that they were pushing this one currency, the euro, and the European Union, and they were so far in England, and for them to vote to get out, that was amazing, because they were really deep, had already been very brainwashed into this whole accepting socialism. I didn't think there was enough Brits really to overturn the thing, but apparently,
I know, because remember the polls were against it.
Yeah.
In fact, the
I remember.
Day before the election,
the day
they
before
said
they
no
were
way.
Saying, yeah, the night I went to sleep that night, and the news was that it looked like they were going to vote to stay. So when I got up in the morning and I saw that the vote was to leave, I couldn't believe it.
And
I
there
was
a big backlash. I mean, David Cameron stepping down over it. What does that say of him?
Well, what does that say of him? But then the new person they put in, I never heard of this woman. Did you?
Me either. No. Why didn't – what was the name of that man who was really –
Nigel Farage?
Yeah, Nigel.
Yeah.
Why didn't he
take over?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I was really perplexed by that because I never saw this woman.
And isn't it funny now that Nigel Farage is stepping up, speaking up for Trump and is on being interviewed on, you know, the side of Trump everywhere?
Yeah.
InfoWars has him on a lot. And I just, you know, but, you know, as far as being interviewed a lot, I'm not saying on the mainstream media, because the mainstream media is bought and paid for.
No, you don't see him that much. No, they're bought and paid for. But it's kind of ironic that there was still a spark in England of people saying we've had enough of the open borders. Oh, there was so much chaos in England. And, of course, medicine was already socialized back in the 90s in England. And a friend of mine, she had to go for a surgery, which she had to wait months for. And then by the time she went for the surgery, she was put in a ward. I went to visit her. There was about 10 or 12 people in this ward, men and women, in the same room.
Oh, in the same room?
In the same room.
No.
Yes. I mean, coming to a hospital near you. Last week, my brother had surgery. And when you used to go for surgery, you'd go in the night before. They'd get you ready. No, he had to drive himself there in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning to the hospital for the surgery. You know, things are really getting ridiculous. And and even they mentioned the other night about this Obama, really Obama, the Obama health plan. Now, it slipped out of Hillary's mouth that really it wasn't about really providing health care. It was about saving Medicare. So it was really to put the money into the Medicare trust fund that they have been spending and dipping into. And senior citizens really are the ones that are paying. My aunt's 90 years old, and she said, well, I'm paying double what I used to pay for my Blue Cross Blue Shield. My parents used to pay $600 a year to retired elderly people for their deductibles. Then their deductible after Obamacare was $3,400.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. So it really is a tax on the working class people to save Medicare. And, of course, the whole thing is falling apart. I mean, insurance companies are pulling out. So now they're talking about going to this one-payer system. Oh, dear. You know, that's going to be terrible. But, you know, hopefully we won't see the same thing. We're already on the verge of socialism, and it all kind of fits into this plan, this new age, one world order plan of a global community.
And that's what SHARE means. SHARE International is, and they spell it out, they want everybody to share. Everyone has an equal right to the resources of planet Earth. And they don't have to work for it. They just have a right to
have
an equal
to
share.
You have to share yours, right? You
have much to share. Yeah, well, you know.
We want yours. You have to share.
Yeah. My mother used to say, finish your dinner, because think of all the starving children in India or wherever it was. And I'd say, well, then wrap it up and ship it to them.
Yeah, really. I have enough of my own problems. Please, I can't take the world's problems. Give me a break.
Well,
yeah, it's really insane, isn't it?
I had to call Comcast yesterday because there was a weird charge on my bill. And
yeah,
the guy got on the other end. I absolutely couldn't understand what he was saying, you know, because
it was from a foreign country, right?
Exactly. It's always happening whenever I make calls. You get India a lot.
Yeah, and they're reading a script.
One,
they can't really help you. They don't know what you're doing.
Really,
they're just reading
bad.
A script.
Well, it wasn't a real big deal, actually. But, you know, but I'm just saying, if Trump gets in, can he get those jobs back? Why should we pay in to Comcast, for instance?
They're making watching commercials for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're getting the money from us, but it goes to another country.
Yeah.
You know, are they setting up Comcast for everybody there in India? I seriously doubt it, but you know, but the thing is, if you will look at the conditions of everybody in every country, you'll see that it is the Christian nations who are the most prosperous. You know, they're the ones that, you know, remember the old talk about the Protestant work ethic, you know?
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's almost a thing of the past now. Now
yeah,
it's entitlements and all of
yeah,
this. And
yeah,
and so the third world, who, you know, it doesn't matter how much help or anything you give them, they just can't rule themselves. And so now all of them want to come and invade the West so that they can just be a, you know, a millstone around the neck of the West to, you know, we'll share with all the stuff that you got because we're incapable of creating such things for ourselves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not, you know what, it is a slam on the whole idea of evolution, because Darwin's theory was survival of the fittest, when it is the opposite. They are going to rob from, you know, the whole the Sherwood Forest guy, the Robin Hood, rob
yeah,
from the rich and give to the poor.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, there's not going to be any rich anymore if you take everything away from the rich. And then what incentive do the rich have to create any any industry or anything like that when it's all taken from them and all of their hard work and everything doesn't pay off anymore. I mean, that doesn't work. That is socialism, and it is a scourge.
Well, it is a scourge. It didn't work. Communism didn't work. It didn't work at all. And people, you know, thank God they basically rejected that idea in Europe. But then
yeah,
again.
Yeah, but look at how close the Bernie thing. Bernie was a socialist, Bernie Sanders.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Young people really wanted him in there.
Well,
because
of course.
They wanted free tuition. And
they
and
want
all
free
was,
tuition, yeah.
All
well,
the entitlement.
Pay? I mean, what's free? There's nothing free. Somebody, it was fair that my old parents that worked all their life had to pay for somebody's health insurance, or they had to pay to save Medicare when they worked 50 years of their life. It's not fair. But they're trying to push these things. I don't understand. It kind of baffles me in a way to. What is the mindset of these people? What do they really believe this stuff that they talk
well,
about?
Well, you know what? It just shows that who we were just talking about, the masters of wisdom, aren't very wise.
No.
There's a lot in it for them and their people, but not for the rest of the world. I mean, really, when you looked at that old movie, Soylent Green, remember Soylent Green? And, you know, Soylent Green is people, you know, the Charlton Heston character discovering that it was like there was just this ruling class of rich and everybody else was, you know, just living on the skids. And then, you know, Soylent Green, of course, was, you know, there was no more, the whole planet had been depleted of resources and no food could grow. So they would use the bodies of the dying people and turn it into a food supply, and it was called Soylent Green, for those of you who haven't seen Soylent Green.
No, no.
But I thought that movie was almost prophetic, because that's where it would land. That's where it would lead.
Yeah.
You know, only the very ruling elite would live in plenty, and everybody else would.
Well, they're not giving up theirs. They're not saying, I'm going to sell everything I have, and so everybody can share. No, they want to take yours and share it.
Exactly. And the Pope is pressing this kind of thing. That's what the Pope wants.
Yeah, that is one of the biggest hypocrites alive. Because they're
absolutely.
Not selling off their trillions of dollars of real estate or their priceless paintings or their jewel-encrusted chalices or whatever, you know. And then yet they have the nerve to have these dinners, like this dinner they had the other night where they're taking up money for poor sick kids. Mm. It is ridiculous. It is really ridiculous when...
It's funny that Catholic thing that banquet that Hillary and Trump spoke at the other night, you know, the media kept saying that this was a Catholic event, and the media kept saying there they are with the rich and the elite. How are all these Catholics the elite? That the way the media
Are Catholics. Some of the people that were there were probably Catholics, some of the well-known figures.
And they're the ones that aren't the pure Catholics, you know, that the Church Militant group I follow.
No, because the Cuomos were for abortion. So is Tim Kaine, who says the ballerina, who says that he's Jesuit. Now, interesting, right? The running mate of the Democrat is a Jesuit trained.
That's right. That's
very
right.
Interesting.
And then, of course, the Catholics were already predisposed for this kind of thing with the liberation theology of South America and everything that was big, which is where Pope Francis stemmed from. And liberation theology was that everybody has the right to, you know, their share of the planet. So the same agendas follow all those people. And then you've got, you know, the Trump card, who doesn't go along with it. Now, how long will these masters of wisdom put up with Trump? And with Pence,
Catholic
and was born again.
Yeah, well,
you know,
we're going to see. I mean, only God, we'll see what the Lord does, really. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out, because obviously we know the future. We know what the future holds. It's kind of like we want to stay off the judgment as long as we can, because we know what happens when totally wicked people
are
in charge. And when Hillary says something about she's going to protect the children, the toddlers from guns, but yet 5 minutes before she's saying that she's for partial birth abortion, which you can't get any more wicked than that. And so it goes along with the whole doublespeak. But it kind of passes over, you could see, it passes over people's heads. They don't even realize sometimes what people are saying. It's important, really, to listen to what people are saying and to take it all in, not just
every bit of this is anti-Christian. Isn't it interesting that these refugees are all talking about, they're bringing over the Christian ones that are being persecuted, just the Muslim ones?
Yeah.
Now, here's a statement on the latest. Share International says that history teaches that nothing happens twice in the exact same way. Time and evolution ensure renewal of events. Those who await a savior in the manner of the past will wait in vain. New times demand new methods and new problems, new solutions. Doesn't that sound like it could have come from a speech from Obama?
Yeah.
You know, all this kind of stuff. And so they're slamming any, we're considered the old world, the old way, if we hold on to biblical principles.
Yeah.
And look for Jesus to return. Because after all, you know, he kind of blew it, just as Pope Francis said, you know, what happened there, you know, in his homily, that, you know, it didn't bring in a good world yet. But, you know, but they have to counterfeit everything, you know. The new age counterfeiting the millennium. And yet the millennium's at hand. And certainly we as Christians are certainly looking forward to ruling and reigning with Jesus on a restored planet. But, you know, but these people seem to think that they can do it themselves. And the people in the church who believe in the kingdom now dominion theology, they are the ones who are going along with that idea that, oh, Jesus isn't going to make things right. We're the ones that got to do it.
Yeah.
We've got to all unify.
Yes, and then we're going to save the planet.
Yeah.
We're going to fix everything, which, of course, no man is going to destroy God's earth. Anyway, we're getting a new heaven and a new earth eventually. But they think they're the saviors. We're going to save you. Of course, we know who the savior is. We know who saves us. They take away also. They take away people's desire to work. And really, the country we live in, it's a great country because everyone has an equal opportunity to do something with their life if you want to. Everybody does. I don't care where you're born or what your situation is. Hard work, you can't beat hard work.
That's the Protestant work ethic that they don't like.
Yeah.
And yet that's what made all of that. That is the people who it created all or discovered all of the discoveries and made the inventions of all the things that have made life easier for everybody. I mean, you know, I'm glad I didn't live 200 years ago, and, you know, I don't want to let go of my washing machine and my dishwasher and my vacuum cleaner.
I still remember my mother had a washboard, and she had a wringer washer. I remember that. Yeah, she had a wringer washer. And I love modern conveniences. I'm glad to be alive today. And it came through people's hard work. If you work hard and you work every day, and you save your money, and you can be anything you want to be. And so we all have a great opportunity And this is the land of opportunity, this country. It really is. I don't see people leaving. You know, people don't want to leave when they want to come here, and they can want to come here for a reason. So
But the ones who come here illegally seem to want to come here to live off us, not to contribute
No, you have to come the way our families came. You come here legally and you apply for citizenship and you do it the right way. But no, you can't have open borders, and you can't imagine if the borders ever really truly were open. They are open for the most part now. And I think there was a news story the other day about 25% of people now are Arabic or something like that, speaking Arabic in the schools. Now, that's a frightening statistic, isn't it?
Well, that's because they're having 8 to 10 kids each and they want to do that because that's their way of winning through numbers by multiplying.
Yeah. So you can't imagine, though, if you really truly have an open borders, as they're suggesting, and we have over 300 million people, and it goes up to 500 million or 600 million. Just imagine what could happen. Really, I mean, you know, God help us. But we're living in the last days. We know we're living in the last days. We're seeing events happen before our eyes. It's amazing what's happening in the church, the so-called church world. Of course, thank God for the internet. Who knows how much longer, though, we're going to have our freedoms there.
And really, everybody is being conditioned step by step towards the, you know, acceptance of this new world order and everything. And we are, you know, if Trump loses this election, all that does is demonstrate that there's no longer a moral majority in America. And pretty much then we'll never be, and a lot of people are saying this, and I agree, that if Hillary wins, then the people have spoken, and the people their eyes have been clouded. They've got scales on their eyes, and they are spiritually blinded because perhaps they just didn't have a love for the truth, and so they've been given over to believe the lie, and the lie makes perfect sense in their world.
Well, yeah, we've seen it in the past. We've seen it in the past. So we'll see what the Lord does, really, because he puts people up and he takes people down. I'll be very interested to see what the outcome of all of this is. And one way or the other, we're going to know where we stand as far as things wrapping up and, you know, Jesus coming back for us. So we're living in truly interesting days, so I want to see what happens to this country, and we'll know, you know, soon enough we'll know where we're headed as a nation. So, and then we'll know where, as far as our voices and the voices of many others, you know, brave people out there speaking up for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his church, we'll know where we're going to stand in the future and how much longer we're going to have the freedoms that we have, because you know they're going to go after the media, the so-called underground media, and eventually a lot of the things that we do and we say, it's going to be viewed as hate speech.
I know, and we'll have our, just like WikiLeaks had their internet access cut off, so will we, because it's the global powers now that control it.
Yeah. And even, we're still going to have the harlot church. They'll still be here even after they cut off, if they decide that we get cut off in the end. They'll still be, those people will still be around deceiving people, they'll all be working together, as we see they are. We see these so-called evangelical leaders cozying up to Pope Francis and buying into the whole one world religion thing, and
that goes along with it.
Yeah, it goes along.
And they'll believe the lie that all of these, you know, that actually the burning bush was just a communication device from the Space Brothers. That's what they say.
Well, you know, it's funny to us, but when you hear that one of the main things Obama wants to do before he leaves is he wants to make sure this Mars program gets off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
If that's one of the main things that you want to accomplish, and then you're talking about helping, they have all this free college and we want to give you medical care and whatever, yet you're going to spend how many billions of dollars going to Mars? For what reason? All of
right.
it doesn't make any sense. Anyone
yeah, don't
with
you think
any
we
kind
ought to get out of debt first?
yeah, exactly. We're going to Mars. So, but it bypasses everybody. It goes over people's heads. Oh, it sounds like a good idea. But yet, if they are truly for the people and they really want to do something for the people, then why are they talking about going to Mars? It's ludicrous.
Yeah, that's kind of out there.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But that's the state of things. And I think that this, what you shared today, now, most people haven't heard about it, and he hasn't really, that information, especially since he put out that full-page ad in 1982, you didn't hear that much about it. But they're doing their job, these people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they you know I you know they talk about this telepathy, but are they using their you know deplorable powers to try to control people telepathically? You know, is that playing a role here? Because that's what they boast of.
Well, they use. It doesn't take much, because if you can convince over a billion people that Jesus lives in a wafer,
yeah,
and which
yeah.
they've managed to do, they have
yeah.
managed to convince people that Jesus is not really a real person. He lives in a wafer, and you go into a building,
mm-hmm.
and he sits in a chalice in a box on an altar. And you go in there and you bow down to this thing. So if people can be convinced of that, they can be convinced of almost anything. And
then
so
of course,
that's what
and then
we...
that goes right along with the New Age ideas of the Christ consciousness.
Yeah.
And that Jesus was only a man who had the fullness of the Christ consciousness.
Yeah.
And
so we have our
showers.
Work cut out for us, don't we? I mean, we really have our we have our work cut out for us to get the truth out there, and hopefully people can know who the real Jesus is, that he's a real person, and he died for our sins, and he's in heaven, he's coming again, and
amen.
Man will not destroy what God has built. And we hope and pray that you give your life to Jesus today, the people that are listening, and repent of your sins and come to the truth, because it's the truth that makes you free. And
mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you, Jackie, for coming on today. Great program. Interesting discussion, as always. And,
my pleasure. It's good to talk to somebody who sees eye to eye with me.
I'm telling
so
you,
don't.
Like, yeah. It, otherwise, sometimes it's like you feel like you're on another planet, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, if people want to contact you, they can contact you on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, just look up my name on Facebook or go to raptureReadyRadio.com, and you can, I'm the director of Rapture Ready Radio. It's a blog talk network, so we have a whole lot of programs, and in fact, every Saturday night I have a show called Time of the Signs, where I post a good teaching from good preachers. You know, most of them are dead, but they're alive forevermore with Jesus.
Yeah.
So you can tune into some of the programs there, and then, and I also have a blog, and it's it's part of my program is Scattered Sheep Report, and so the link is on Rapture Ready Radio to the blog too.
Yeah, and Jackie's on Rapture Ready Radio, the Scattered Sheep Report, on Friday night
mm-hmm.
at 9, I think. You're
yeah, 9 your time, 8
yeah.
Central, yeah.
Yeah, and don't forget to look for that. And then she has on Facebook, if you want to hook up with her. Also, YouTube. She has some videos up on YouTube that I'm sure you'll find very interesting. In her book, The Fleecing of Christianity.
Yes, The Fleecing of Christianity. Though I can't sell on Amazon anymore, so I don't know where you could get it. You might be able to order it from Moriel Ministries.
Oh, okay. All right.
And,
so,
yeah.
Anyway, we'll have to see about getting that book back out.
Because that
was a labor of love for sure.
I should update it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
a lot
a good
has happened
idea.
Since then.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Very
well,
good
it's been
idea.
A pleasure, Susan.
Yeah,
and,
thanks so much, Jackie.
So good to talk to you. And we'll,
you
and,
too.
And God bless you.
You too. God bless you too.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And great discussion today with our friend and our sister in the Lord, Jackie Alnor. Whatever happens, we know that God has our life in His hands, and we're going to make it through whatever we have to make it through with God's help, because the Bible says that the righteous will not be forsaken and His seed will not be begging for bread. So God said He would meet our needs according to His riches and glory, and no matter what happens in the world, God will take care of us. So we want to make sure that while we're here on the earth, that we can tell as many people the good news of Jesus Christ. And there is a devil. Now, the devil is real, and hell is a real place, just as heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real city. Hell is a real place, too. And there is good and evil in the world. And we want to let people know about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and He ascended into heaven. And He sits at the right hand of the Father. And He said that He's coming again. And you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you can know that when you die, you'll be going to heaven. He said in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. So first you're born of your mother. And then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. So also read the book of Romans today, where the book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Give your life to Jesus today. You'll never regret it. He'll give you a brand new life, and all your sins will be forgiven, and you can start all over again. He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy. He gives you all those things that you can't buy. God bless you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, everybody, that stopped by the chat room today. And God bless you. We'll see you next week.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.